At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the NITV News Podcast. Almost 50 young people a day are being locked up in Queensland, with the state government saying that's proof its tough on crime law are working. But First Nations justice advocates say the approach will continue the cycle of crime and are pleading for alternatives to jail.
The results of the Queensland Premier's controversial adult time for adult crime laws are in.
We promised a crackdown on youth crime, and everything we are doing is about delivering that.
The government's latest crime data shows an average of 47 young people are apprehended a day. In the first quarter of this year, over 4,000 young offenders were facing more than 18,000 charges.
The more you lock someone up, the more likely they are to be caught in a cycle of criminal offending.
The government says the crackdown has seen a 9% reduction in stolen vehicles and a 12% decline in break-ins compared to the same period last year. However, advocates argue the prison may not be an effective deterrent, instead fostering a pattern of reoffending.
What we know is those tough-on-crime laws don't work. There is no evidence anywhere in the world, let alone Australia, to say that increasing criminalisation works.
Community elders are calling for more programs to divert people away from the court system.
If we want to address the justice system, we need to address out-of-home care first, because that's where the kids are coming from. And if we can address that, we can stop a lot of kids going into crime. We want to prevent crime. We don't want to be the abusers of crime.
There are also concerns the legislation breaches UN conventions on the rights of the child. Dan Rennie, NITV News.
For millennia, First Nations people in Lutruwita, Tasmania, have had a connection to the sea, including the cultural practices of shell-stringing necklaces, diving and hunting. Work is now underway to establish the state's first sea country Indigenous protected area. Designed to support conservation, protection and management of the area, which includes ecologically important seagrass beds. Tasmania correspondent Karen Thomas has more.
Fiona Maher's connection to the sea goes back generations.
Pākehā women, we see ourselves as women of the sea. Our old women were, you know, great divers.
She's a senior ranger for the proposed Tairicha Sea Country Indigenous Protected Area.
A lot of our cultural practices rely on sea country, so all our shellfish, our mutton birds or eula, our Kanalaricha shell necklaces, all those shells are found in these waters.
The proposal for the Indigenous protected area is around the Furneaux Islands in Bass Strait, also known as Tairicha. It's the first sea country IPA for Tasmania. It will link five existing island IPAs and includes Ramsar wetlands and ecologically significant coastal habitats. The protected area won't affect other users here.
It's just about empowering our community to care for our country. Yeah, and for us, there's no disconnect between land and sea, so that makes it even more important.
A management plan for the area is in development, and it's already helping foster collaboration between the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre, University of Tasmania and Deakin University.
What we're aiming to do is basically to primarily map the seagrass beds around the Furneaux Group, because basically they're large and extensive, probably thought to be the largest around South Australia, but they haven't been extensively mapped before.
One way the seagrass is mapped is using a benthic observation survey system, or BOSS camera. It's dropped for 2 to 5 minutes at a time, dozens of times a day, measuring the spread and length of seagrass, as well as the different species.
Studying the range of species supported by the different seagrasses, the impacts of seaweed, and trying to figure out how much carbon the seagrass beds are storing.
Seagrass is thought to be basically two times more efficient than some of the plants on land, but it sort of depends on the forest and where it is. And so the idea is basically to match the maps with the samples we take of blue carbon and to look up what the storage capacity is of the beds here.
Working with the rangers to build a long-term monitoring plan.
A lot of our cultural food comes from the sea. So it's very important that we keep our waters and that healthy here and mitigate any threats to sea country.
Preserving their waters for future generations. On Big Dog Island, Karen Thomas, NITV News.
Arrernte street signs have been put up all over Impantwa Alice Springs, a visible sign of the language of the traditional owners. Many of the streets in town were named in the 1970s with officials using Arrernte words but guessing how to spell them. Now, more than 60 new signs have been put up correcting those mistakes. The street signs haven't been approved by the local council, but they have the mayor's support and none have been removed. A QR code on the Arrernte street signs links to audio with the correct pronunciation and also background on the name's meaning.
These signs aren't supposed to replace the original signs, and we're not arguing for that. They're just a value add.
Everyone should learn a bit of Arrernte. It's a beautiful language and, you know, it's what makes us unique. It's what makes Alice Springs, Alice Springs.
A colonial era story about a white woman supposedly living with Gunai Kurnai people in the Gippsland region of Victoria is the focus of a new theatre production that has premiered in Naarm, Melbourne. Called The Black Woman of Gippsland, the play is based on real events of the time and tells of the catastrophic ramifications for the Gunai Kurnai stemming from an ill-fated rescue attempt by white settlers.
The cast of The Black Women of Gippsland have been rehearsing for months.
Nobody hears or sees the white woman for three whole years.
The play is a modern mystery about a woman trying to unravel the truth of a story from the 1830s.
There were numerous shipwrecks along the really dangerous Gunai Kurnai coast, and it was said that a white woman was washed up on the beach and had been either rescued or captured or taken hostage, and that she was taken in by Gunai Kurnai people.
Who is this yellow woman? And if she wanted to be rescued, why did she run away?
After apparent sightings in the 1840s, an expedition party made up of white men and Aboriginal troopers descended on the area. The woman was never found, but the consequences for the Gunai Kurnai were immense.
The repercussions for my people were immense. There were massacres and dispossession of country and very sadly, our first Aboriginal death in custody.
It does pique your interest in history and how it's actually told. And it's always through the lens of, you know, the coloniser.
Andrea James has been working on the play for around 6 years and says she was very definite about what she wanted to achieve with the production.
Wanted to hold Melbourne audiences to account, to have them understand, you know, how Melbourne was involved in that story, but to also unravel the myth, you know, to disempower the white man's version of that story.
The Black Women of Gippsland is on at Melbourne South Bank Theatre until the end of May.
Where they see
Makili Siren, NITV News.
And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune into NITV News weeknights at 6:30 p.m. And stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.